Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 355. 355, if you'd like a copy of it, Sharon will show you four ways how to receive one at the end of the program. Please specify whether you'd like a CD or a audio tape copy. It's absolutely free. Postage and handling is free as well. If you have finances, we send these out so many that we're getting a little short on finances in order to meet the demand. There's like millions of people that want these, and they run about a dollar a piece. That's not including the postage, so you'd have to be pretty endued with deep pockets in order to take care of everything. But the Lord says for you to give tithes and offerings. If you have them, 10%. If you don't have them, it's good to give also at least 10% to the Lord so that you're not robbing him of souls. You're robbing God, he says in the book of Malachi, if you don't send in something. But right now, we have, I want to tell you about the service today. I'm going to try to get into some book of Revelations. We're going to finish up on Ezekiel, the first chapter, where it's only three verses left there. And then we're going to try to get into the second chapter of Ezekiel. We have a testimony, music and singing, but right now let's go to the throne of the living God and ask the Lord to take this service by anointing it and letting his voice ring throughout the land through his servant, Tony. Lord God, I ask that you anoint and that you talk right through me to the general public, to the church, to the lost, and to the saved. So many of the saved have fallen away. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Lord, people are so far away from you today, and we see that you're desirous of doing a very quick work, which we just read in the first chapter of Ezekiel. And it's confirmed in the book of Revelation and in the book of Daniel. And Lord, we just pray that you'll quicken people that are unsaved to make them to realize the late hour that they're living in, and that it's really everything's going to be done in a very speedy way. No one in the entire universe is quick, can come close to your quickness, your fastness. And we need to get in and up to speed with the Holy Spirit, with you, so that we can be in this war against Satan, and that you will be in our midst every moment of every day, Lord, that we shall see complete victory in this world over sin, Satan, the world, death, hell, and the grave. Lord, we ask it in the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now here I am to sing for you with J.D. Sumner and the Stamps Quartet. It's called Swing Down Sweet Chariot.
Why don't you swing down, sweet chariot, stop and let me ride. Swing down, chariot, stop and let me ride. Rock me, Lord, rock me, Lord. Calm and easy, well, I got a home on the other side.
Why don't you swing down, sweet chariot, stop and let me ride.
Swing down, chariot, stop and let me ride. Rock me, Lord, rock me, Lord. Calm and easy, well, I got a home on the other side.
Well, Ezekiel went down in the middle of the field. He saw an angel working on a chariot wheel. Wasn't so particular about the chariot wheel. Just wanted to see how a chariot feels. Why don't you swing down, sweet chariot, stop and let me ride.
Swing down, chariot, stop and let me ride. Rock me, Lord, rock me, Lord. Calm and easy, well, I got a home on the other side.
Well, well, Ezekiel went down and he got on board. Chariot wasn't bumping on down in the road. Zeke wasn't particular about the bumping on the road. Just wanted to lay down his heavy load. Why don't you swing down to Chariot Stop and let me ride? Swing down Chariot Stop and let me ride. Rock me, Lord, rock me along. Calm and easy, well, I got home on the other side. Well, I got a father in the promised land. Ain't gonna stop until I shake his hand. Rock me, Lord, rock me, Lord. Calm and easy, well, I got home on the other side. Why don't you swing down Chariot Stop and let me ride? Swing down Chariot Stop and let me ride. Rock me, Lord, rock me, Lord. Calm and easy, well, I got home on the other side. Why don't you swing down Sweet Chariot Stop and let me ride? Swing down Chariot Stop and let me ride. Rock me, Lord, rock me, Lord. Calm and easy, well, I got home on the other side.
Praise the Lord. I recorded that at Johnny Cash Studio in Henderson, Tennessee, and at the Johnny Cash Studios. It was real nice there. Johnny Cash's mother was there, and his brother Tommy, and of course, J.D. Sumner and the Stamps Quartet, and my wife Susie was there at the time, and it was just really a wonderful day that we had recording these songs. We have some testimonies today. We only maybe have time for one. Let's hear what the, where's the first one from?
From St. Charles County.
That's St. Charles, Louisiana, I believe. Okay, go ahead.
Dear Pastor Tony Alamo, I read one of your pieces of literature that was in the newspaper and really enjoyed it. I would like to turn my life over to the Lord Jesus Christ, but I don't know how. That's why I'm writing to ask you for help, Pastor. My name is Mekez. I am 17, and I have been through a lot as a kid.
Well, this literature that I have written, there's like hundreds of pieces of it, and I've got all kinds of thousands of CDs and audio tapes that you can have free of charge. And for sure, if you listen to those, you'll know exactly how and what to do also. Okay, and 17 years old, I started going through it when I was very young. I've had a very eventful life of really being forced to do so many things that maybe a lot of kids wouldn't like to have done, but I loved working and I loved going out to work, and I went out working in the snow, 50 below zero weather, delivering the Helena Independent Record in Helena, Montana. And I also delivered the Montana Standard, which is the Butte, Montana paper. And on Sunday, I delivered the Spokesman Review. And then after I'd get through delivering the papers, I'd go out and sell the papers. And then when that was over with in the early morning, that was pretty much over with at about 12 noon, I'd go out shoveling snow. Or if it was the summertime, I would mow lawns. And or whatever jobs I could do. And I was supporting my mother and two brothers. And my dad was sort of a gypsy. He'd take off and there wouldn't be much around the house. And so I'd also shine shoes in bars at nighttime in order to get tips and money to take home for food and clothing and to pay the utility bills. And so that happened at a very young age for me. I was like 7 and 8 years old. I just loved to work. And I would have probably gone crazy if I wouldn't have got to get out the house and go out and get something to do to, in order to bring some finances into the house. My other brothers were too young. My one brother was 18 months younger than me, and the other one was born when I was 12, so he wasn't even on the scene at that time. But when I was 12, I did the same thing then. And so, you know, these people that talk about having hard times, I also have been put in jail for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was put in reform school for something that I didn't do. And I believe the Lord just allows us to go through certain things in order for us to be able to go through degradation. He just wants to see what kind of metal we're made out of when we're young. Some of the people have been put in foster homes. They've been put in shelters. They've really gone through the school of hard knocks, especially in these last days, especially people that the Lord is going to use. The general person that was born with a silver spoon in their mouth, they never went through a lot of these things, you know. But all of us go through trials and tribulations and troubles. But we're not to allow any of that to get us bitter. Then when I was 30 years old, after going through hell and high water, it seemed, the Lord visited me in an office in Beverly Hills. He actually audibly spoke to me. He shut my ears off and talked to my spirit rather than to my ears. And not only through my spirit, it felt like he was talking to my whole body. But it was actually the spirit in me that he was talking to. And that made me know that there was a God, that he's definitely a God, more real than anything I've ever experienced in my life. That set me on a quest to go through a lot of the churches in Los Angeles. I just went through every one of them that I could. I read all kinds of books. I began reading a book, and the cover, the inside of the book would say that God is just all love. And God is just all peace, and God just loves, 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 loves. But you're going to see today, and in so many of my messages, I feel compelled by the Holy Spirit to tell the other side of God. God is not just all love. He said, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And then the Bible talks about the fierce wrath of the living God that drowned the whole world in the beginning of time when Noah was, during Noah's time. And then he says, and I believe him, that he's going to burn this whole world up. And I brought a message in regard to the flying saucers from the first chapter of the book of Ezekiel. And this is the actual angels of the Lord answering primarily Sue's prayer, but I was saying amen all along. We were holding hands. She said, let's hold hands and ask the Lord if there's such things as flying saucers, show them to us. And it didn't come out of her mouth of my amen until we just saw a squadron of them coming forth, one, and then two, and then three, and then four, and five, and then another two, and one. They were just coming real fast like that. And just recently, the Lord showed me what all that meant, because I figured, what's the significance of it? All right, if these are angels, and if these are coming from God, what do they mean? I mean, I just can't understand why the Lord is just showing these flying saucers going to and fro, and they're going at the speed of lightning, like fire. And I really wanted to know. And it wasn't just a few days after that, I was on an interview at the Tropicana Hotel on their radio station, and one of the people, there was a panel of movie stars and other celebrities, like myself at the time, and because I was well known in the world for doing promotions for singers and actors and all kinds of things. I was asked to do the promotion for the entire Democratic Party. But I didn't know anything about politics at the time, so I turned it down. And somebody brought up flying saucers, and Susie was sitting behind me, and I looked, and she said with her mouth so that no one could hear her, go ahead, tell them what you saw. Well, both of us saw. So I told them, and then all kinds of showgirls started coming up with their furs and diamonds on and everything. They started filtering into that talk show, which was on the second or third floor, I don't remember. This is going back around 42 years ago. And they were saying, we saw visions too, Tony. We know that you're telling the truth. We saw these things. Well, the Bible said that in the last days, there the young men would see visions and old men would dream dreams. And he'd pour out his spirit upon all flesh, and his servants and handmaids would prophesy. So that means that there's women preachers in these last days. Paul said he suffered them not to teach, but they can sure preach. And I'll tell you that Susie sure used to preach up a storm when she was here with us. So we're going to read a little bit. So this young man is going through the, he's 17 years old. He thinks he's been through the knothole and everything, but I'm sure glad that God has gotten a hold of him and he wants to get a hold of the Lord and find out what it's all about. And I just thank God that he gave me the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and the experiences and the visions and the dreams and the signs and the wonders to let people know what is really happening and to know the actuality of the reality of what the scriptures are all about instead of some false doctrine. Because false doctrine doesn't do it. It has to be pure doctrine from the Lord. In order to obtain God's life, he wants to obtain God's life. Not until it said, there's a lot of times in the Bible where the Bible says that the Spirit of God entered into Ezekiel and set him on his feet or pulled him up to see some vision. But not until the Lord Jesus shed his precious blood on the cross at Calvary and died on the cross, thereby satisfying the demand of God's holiness. God just can't allow sin in this world. He can't allow it. He won't allow it, and it's for sure he's not going to allow sin into the kingdom of heaven. So in order to erase sin from off of human souls, the Lord had to come into the world and die on the cross, thus shedding his blood on the cross at Calvary. Therefore, he satisfied the demand of God's holiness and God's glory. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. Holiness. This is what the Lord is looking for. Without holiness, no man shall see God. Amen?
Amen.
That's what the Bible says. And righteousness was the way which leads to salvation, to God's eternal life, in other words, and his life is opened. So people that want to know how to have God's life living in them, just continue listening to the program and request all of my literature and CDs and tapes and the Messiah book, and you're going to be so filled with the Holy Spirit by reading all these that you won't any longer want to know how God's life can live in you. So at the time of regeneration, and because of our conscience has been contacted, that's what happens, this man's conscience has been contacted, and now he wants to be contrite. And the way that you become, the Lord loves those that have a contrite heart. And so you must become contrite to regenerate. Regenerate faith in the Word of God causes us to receive the Lord. I mean the Lord Jesus as our personal Savior. We are then able to approach the throne of God. We may approach God in our spirit. Our spirit goes boldly to the throne of the Lord, and we're able to get up there. The life of God, which is in his Son, who is the life-giving Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ, 1 John 5:11. Our condition after regeneration is, one, at the tree of life. At the time of our regeneration, we see that our nature is corrupt. We have to be able to see that we're corrupt. If you think you're fine, you know, I see people interviewing people on the street and say, do you think you're good enough to go to heaven? They say, yes. And they say, why? They say, well, because, you know, we help people when we can, and we don't really hurt anybody, and they just think that they can merit heaven because they don't hurt anybody. But the problem is that they're so spiritually dead that they don't realize that they are hurting people. If you are not bringing the gospel to people, you're hurting them, because the only merciful, really superior merciful thing that you could do to somebody is to bring the gospel to them so that they can have eternal life. And if you're not bringing it to them, you're not doing anything merciful for them. You give somebody a $5 bill or throw a penny in the pot or a dollar or something. Our nature is corrupt. We have to realize that. And our ideas and our philosophies are corrupt. But when you do become saved after regeneration because of that initial knowing, we always feel that our own nature is corrupt. And number two, our heart is softened toward God when the Spirit of the Lord enters into our heart. Which is our heart is like a hard stone toward God before regeneration. Now, after you've experienced regeneration, at that time of regeneration, is your heart is softened toward God and becomes a heart of flesh. That's written in Ezekiel 36, verse 26. So when a heart has been softened, it desires to serve God. To witness to people, testify to people, to show God that we love Him, and to show the people of the world that we love God and that we love them too. But the Bible says if they reject the gospel, then we're to shake the dust off our sandals and leave and go and witness to somebody else. Don't be arguing on the streets with somebody that is obviously trying to get a grandstand going for Satan. And at that time, our hearts, our spirits, draw near to God. I wanted to contact everything that is spiritual, godly spiritual, and gladly my heart received the Lord and obeys God's commandments. My heart is no longer stubborn. I wanted to just get out of show business, the record industry, everything, and I didn't want to rebel against God. Sometimes we are unconscious or we are unable to obey God because of ignorance. Yet God's Spirit, God forgives ignorance if you are doing something wrong ignorantly, but not if you're doing it knowingly. So, yet God's spirit in us is still willing to obey his own self. And when we find out that we are ignorant, you'll be doing something that is against God's will, if you're doing that, then we repent and get it forgiven, since ignorance, again, can be forgiven. But once it is revealed to us that we did it ignorantly, then if we do it again, then it's not ignorance any longer. Therefore, it becomes exceedingly sinful. In the third place, our spirit is alive towards God. The spirit that was dead before we became born again in the spirit or regenerated, because of its contact with God, life after regeneration, by the life-giving Spirit, by the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is actually God as well, because Jesus is God. The Spirit, having been quickened, our natural spirit is quickened, and is able now to reach God and to fellowship with God, to contact Him, to understand, to apprehend the spiritual things of God. And it has the strength to do God's will, because it's God's power in you that will do that. And now I want to, before it gets too late, to read the last three verses in the first chapter of Ezekiel. So Sharon, let's go.
And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone.
Okay, now, what was that again?
And above the firmament.
Above the firmament, okay. There's a firmament. There's the gravity. We cannot defy gravity. We have to stay where we are on earth. The only one that ever defied gravity was the Lord Jesus Christ when he rose into the kingdom of heaven in a cloud, and Elijah was taken up in a chariot, and Enoch was taken. But they were not transformed at that time. Their bodies were not transformed. Then what?
And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne.
Now, the firmament above our head, below the firmament is natural water that we drink from rivers, streams, whatever. But above the firmament is the water of God. It's the living water, the Holy Spirit. Okay, then what?
Above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone.
Okay, so this is, the Lord is described very much like this in other scriptures, in the book of Revelation and elsewhere. What else?
And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it.
Yes, so that's the way I saw Jesus when I saw him with my eyes wide open. He was sitting on a throne. A man, not three mans like the Father on one throne, the Son on another one, and the Spirit on another one, because these three are one. There's not three gods. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. They, together, Jesus is the one that paid the price, and he now is a human being, in, as well as God, sitting in the heavens on the throne. And we're sitting, if you're born again, we're sitting there with him by spirit. It's like one of these divers that goes off into the water, and they get their air from the ship, and they can talk to the shipmaster or whoever the communicator is on the ship and tell them what's going on down below. It's like a, that's just the way it is. And so we are able to talk to the Lord the same way, and we are able to breathe the aroma from around the throne because we sit there with him. All right, and this is in the book of Revelation as well. Then what?
And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it.
Okay, now amber is like yellow and beryl. They all have a color like that, yellowish, orange, gold. Like, and so God appears that way many times in scriptures, and even in the book of Revelation. Then what?
As the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward. And
right. He appears that way in the book of Revelation. Then what?
And from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain.
Okay, so this also is in the book of Revelation, where there's a rainbow around the head of the Lord sitting on the throne. And and the angel of the Lord. So this is definitely God here that was showing him these flying saucers. The actual wheel within the wheel, that's the symbolic of the body of Christ. Because the Lord is in our midst, and we are the outer part, the wheel. The Lord cannot move on this earth without his body. There's no souls that will be saved without his body. We all have to learn to live the body life, the church life, the true church, not a religious church, not religion, because that's not at all the Lord. And it has to be, you must be born again of the Spirit. You must have the Lord's life living in you. And then after that, you must put away the old life, your old life. You have to, first he cleanses your sins, and then what happens is you are told by the Lord to put away all the old things in your old life. You're not to be living that way any longer. And then the Spirit will start leading you. If you still have things in your life that you're living, your old life, you won't realize or any major change in your life, because the Lord is not dealing with people that are still living their fake old life. They cling to the old ways of their filthy, degenerated life, and there's not going to be any wisdom come into you, no knowledge or understanding from the Lord. He wants you to totally forsake your old life and begin giving your entire life, your heart, soul, mind, and strength to the Lord. He doesn't want you to put anything before Him. Now, you can have a family and everything, but if the family's trying to pull you away from the Lord, you're to put them away. They even asked Jesus one day, they says, well, your mother and your brethren are outside waiting for you. While he was preaching, he was on the job working for the Lord, for Father in heaven. He said, who is my mother and who are my brethren? He says, these that serve the Lord. Okay? And so you put mother, father, sister, brother, son, daughter, if they're trying to take you away from the Lord. It's a joyful thing if they want to, if they join in with you serving the Lord. All right? So you're not supposed to put them away. They're your brothers and your mother and your dad. But your real father is God. And he's the one that we owe all allegiance to. Nothing to anybody else. All right? Amen. Unless they're in the Lord. Nothing at all. Okay, keep going.
As the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so is the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake.
Okay, and one that spake. Now let's just delve into the second chapter of Ezekiel here and see who it was that he was looking at, and all these flying saucers, the wheel, that means Christ, in the midst of the church, the wheel, outer wheel. Let's see who is talking here. Let's go into chapter 2.
And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee.
Oh, you're ordering me, this person from the throne. You're ordering me to stand up on my feet? Yes, and when the Lord tells you that, you better do it. Amen?
Amen.
Because you're not talking to your boss down at the Winchester BB gun factory. All right?
Amen.
This is God. You're not talking to some guy down at the office, or some police officer that isn't born again, or any officer of this present world. We ought to be God first above anybody else. We owe no obedience to anyone except when God tells us that we have to obey certain magistrates and so on. Then we obey, okay? And agree quickly with the adversary. I mean, the one that is against us, that's the devil, or they'll put you in prison. They'll take you to court, put you in prison, and charge you a huge fine. So do that, because it's wise to do that. And if they tell you don't witness and testify, or we'll throw you in jail over at the bus depot or wherever, stay away from there, okay? Because the Lord said, agree with them immediately. Then what else?
And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me.
So how could this, if it wasn't God, could the Spirit enter into the man? Amen?
Amen.
It was God.
Amen.
Then what?
And set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day.
And they are to this very day in this world. Okay, keep going.
For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man...
Yeah, God wants you, even though you're going to hell, he doesn't want you saying at the judgment bar, God, God, you never sent anybody to me to tell me that there's hell. He says, go in there and tell this bunch of devils what I say, so they won't be able to say that no one was ever sent to them. God makes sure every one of you people out there are witness to. Every one of you now, especially you people that have been in my church. All right, then what?
And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. And when I looked, behold, an hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe.
Right, lamentations, warnings, and woe. What verse is that? It.
That's the end of two.
Okay, now go ahead, keep reading.
Chapter 3. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll, and go speak unto the house.
In other words, you people, all of us are supposed to eat the Word of God. We have to eat it like it's our spiritual food, because the more we eat or consume or allow the Word of God to go into our heart, the more of God is in there, because the Word is God, the Word is Spirit, the Word is life, and the Word, the Lord said, is seed. In the beginning was the seed, and the seed which was God, and the seed was God, and the seed became flesh. So it's Jesus that's being sown into our heart, because he's the Word of God. And so do not rebel against it. Do what it says, and don't try to twist it or shave it or try to do anything with it. Just use it as it is. Then what?
Eat this roll and go speak unto the house of Israel.
In the sixth chapter of John, the Lord says to eat my flesh and my blood. Okay, so that's the Word of God. And a lot of people were offended and they left him. And that happens to be the scripture 666. Which is symbolic of the Antichrist. So anyone that leaves the Lord is an Antichrist. And folks, there's no forgiveness for that sin in this world or in the world to come. All right, and then go ahead.
So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, Son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of a hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of a strange speech and of a hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me, for all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted.
Okay, that was back then, but now the people of Israel are starting to get saved, such as myself. All right, I'm born again. Sharon is reading to you is a Hebrew Christian, are you not?
Yes, I am.
Say the Shema to him in Hebrew.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Ve'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha v'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha v'chol me'adecha v'hayu hadvarim ha'eleh asher anochi mitzaveh hayom.
Okay, tell them what it means in English.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love him with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, and teach it unto thy children, and speak of it when thou arisest, and when thou walk in the way.
And so on. Okay, but we're going to get with Ezekiel. All right, so what else?
Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads.
Sharon's mother comes from Romania, and my dad comes from Romania, the same town, Bucharest. Okay, we're Romanian Jews. Okay, go ahead.
As an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart, and hear with thine ears. And go, get thee to them of the captivity.
Okay, that's what happened to me. The Lord says, here's how I'm going to give you these words. Now you go to everybody in the world and tell them what I'm saying. Now I said, if they don't believe, you're still going to get the same reward in heaven for you preaching to them what I say. And if you don't do it, he says, all their sins will be on you. And you will go to hell with them. But if you do tell them and they deny it, they will not receive what the Lord says. He says, you will not go to hell, you will go to heaven. And he says, you may go to prison. And I did. You may go to jails. Many times I did for preaching the gospel. Many times I was called stupid and you should know better than to just say this because you know what they're going to do to you. I know what they're going to do to me, partner. I don't know what they're going to do to me. But I know what the Lord would do to me if I didn't do it. And that's where you're stupid. And I'm brilliant. All right? Amen. Now, it's too bad that you don't have the same kind of brain that I do. Or the same kind of brain that God gave me. If I were you, I'd pray that, Lord, give us the same kind of a spirit that Tony has. Amen?
Amen.
And like Ezekiel had.
Amen.
And like the Apostle Paul had. We don't care about that kind of stuff. You're worried about the wrong thing. You're worried about your mousy flesh. You better get out there and burn Los Angeles, New York, Chicago, every place up. And if you can't get out, then give your money so that we can get out there. We'll go. We've got an army of people that we'll send, but we can't send them without money. Now receive it or die and go to hell in the lake of fire. Okay, now keep reading.
And go get thee to them of the captivity, unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them and tell them, thus saith the Lord God. Whether they will hear or whether they will forbear.
It won't make no difference, the Lord says. You're going to get the same reward if you just tell them, though. Then what?
Then the Spirit took me up. And
some people say, I get so discouraged because I preach to people and they don't hear it. And so I just gave up. Don't do that. You're really, really, really not bright if you do that. You have to continue on to the end if you want to be saved. Those who continue on to the end shall be saved. But those that don't are falling away. Falling away! You've been weary at well-doing. And the Lord said in the book of Revelation here, he says, if you've left your first love. You've left that first love of witnessing to people and keeping my commandments. He says, repent quickly or I'll take you to church. I'll take your church away from you. I'll take that golden candlestick of yours, your church, and throw it away because it's worthless, that church of yours. Then what?
Then the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of a great rushing, saying, blessed be the glory of the Lord from his place. I heard also the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touched one another, and the noise of the wheels over against them. And a noise of a great rushing. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. Then I came to them of the captivity of Tel Abib, that dwelt by the river of Kibar, and I sat where they sat, and remained there astonished among them 7 days. And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel.
And the Lord has made me a watchman unto this entire world. And that's why I don't feel ashamed to call myself a world pastor. I've got my literature into every country in the world.
Amen.
All right? Then keep going.
Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand.
In other words, Ezekiel, I'm telling you to witness to these people, and if you don't, they're going to go to hell, but I'm requiring their blood at your hand. You're going to hell for having no mercy on these people, and your soul is going to go to the same hell they're going to. Now, this is a big prophet, Ezekiel, that God is threatening. So don't tell me that God doesn't threaten people, because anybody that's telling you that is a dirty, filthy liar, or it is just a devil. All right? Okay, then what?
Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul.
But your soul, we have to deliver our soul. We have to witness and testify to people. So I told you the other day about this pastor that dressed up like a bum, and his whole church, not one of them came and witnessed him because they thought he was a bum. As soon as everybody got seated in the church, he went in there and walked up to the pulpit, and everyone went, and he says, "You people are not Christians. You're devils." And they truly were. Inasmuch as you wouldn't even go up to your pastor, "Well, we didn't know it was you." That's it. The Bible says to treat everybody the same way, because you may be visiting an angel unawares. And the Lord stated that everyone that you're witnessing to is the Lord. He wants you to witness everyone because they're the Lord's precious creation, and he wants them saved. And if you don't care anything about the Lord's creation, then why do you expect the Lord to have any mercy on you at the judgment bar of God for sticking your nose up, paying no attention to what the words of the Lord is saying, and just letting people in this world become more and more corrupt all the time? Nobody is warning people in this world that I know of except myself. And telling people of the awful place you'll go if you don't do what the Lord says. Okay, then keep going.
Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him.
This is if you've been saved and then you decide to quit on the Lord. The Lord lays a stumbling block before you. Then what?
He shall die.
You're going to die and go to hell and the lake of fire. Because you're even more guilty than a person that has never heard the word. Then what?
Because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered.
So any righteousness that you've done before is completely blotted out. It's as though you've never done anything. As a matter of fact, what you've done is trampled the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ underfoot and put him out to open shame. So you're more guilty than an unsaved person is. Okay, then what?
But his blood will I require at thine hand.
Now, amen. Now this is the real Bible, folks. It isn't the Mickey Mouse stuff that your people are your pastors are teaching you. You ought to just kick them out of that church and make them go somewhere else. Don't listen to them. Then what?
Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also thou hast delivered thy soul.
Yeah, because we're all responsible. The sinner out there is going to go to hell if you don't meet him, and you're going to hell if you don't go out and meet him. So there should be witnessing crews out every moment of every day. And if you get out on the streets too late, too late. There's thousands of souls out on the streets. Get out there, all right? Or I'd rather not have a church, all right? Now let's get out there and get them. Then what else?
And the hand of the Lord was there upon me, and he said unto me, "Arise, go forth into the plain, and I will there talk with thee." Then I arose and went forth into the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord stood there, as the glory which I saw by the river of Kibar, and I fell on my face. Then the Spirit entered into me, and set me upon my feet, and spake with me, and said unto me, "Go shut thyself within thine house. But thou, O son of man, behold, they shall put bands upon thee, and shall bind thee with them, and thou shalt not go out from out among them.
In other words, you're going to get persecuted. But what do you want to do, Ezekiel? Quit? I mean, now that you know I'm up here, now that you know I've got pinned, my eyes, the seven eyes of the Lord are everywhere in the whole world. He's omnipresent, even more present than Donald Trump. The ever-present Donald Trump. He makes the presence of Donald Trump look sick. Donald Trump is just a glory seeker and, looking for whatever he can get. But the Lord is looking for souls. Amen.
Amen.
And he wants you to be the same way as him. Then what?
And I will make thy tongue cleave to the roof of thy mouth, and thou shalt be dumb, and shalt not be to them a reprover, for they are a rebellious house. But when I speak with thee, I will open thy mouth, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, He that heareth, let him hear, and he that forbeareth, let him forbear, for they are a rebellious house.
Yeah, those that are saved, let them remain saved, it says in the book of Revelation. Those that are lost, let them be lost. Because one of these days soon, there will not be any more spirit. The spirit of salvation will be lifted off of this earth, and that'll be the last person that's saved. And there'll be no more opportunity for you to be saved again for the rest of your life. And you're going to be knowing that you're damned to hell in the lake of fire. And so if I you can talk to you like this Ezekiel did. He talked and talked and talked and even put him in jail and house arrest and all this. And all they did for his mercy, and he was put to it by the Lord. The Lord says that he'll go to hell if he doesn't do it. And they just hate him for it because the Lord is telling him what to do. And he's going to do it, and I am as well. And so he'd put me in prison or jail, and I've been there. I'm not the, you wouldn't be getting a virgin in that regard because I've been there, Charlie. And I'm telling you the truth, and I'm going to keep preaching this gospel until the Lord comes back or until somebody puts a bullet in my head. All right? And you better feel the same way about it or you're not going to be in heaven. You're going to be in the bowels of hell and in the lake of fire where it's just nothing but misery and torments, burning, and you're going to be screaming your head off, and your whole body's going to be racked in more severe pain than you ever thought could ever be. So repent and say this prayer. My time is up right now. Say this prayer to the Lord and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as the Word, the Spirit, the living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Lord Jesus who came into the world, the Word of God that completely told us all about the Lord God. Let me teach you the Scriptures, and I'll keep you strong in the Lord. It's not me, but the Lord's Word that I preach that will keep you strong. So repeat this prayer after me. To the Lord, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, Lord Jesus, and I invite you into my heart. Wash all my dirty, filthy, former sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul, I know, because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now, just praise the Lord, keep praising him, be baptized, fully submerged in water, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and be filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you don't understand how, I'll tell you. Just write me and let me know. I'm here sharing to tell you four different ways to receive a copy of this program, number 355. That's 355. Post station handle is taken care of. Just let us know if you want a CD or a audio tape.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Praise the Lord. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Tune in tomorrow for another powerful message from the Lord. You're going to hear the truth for the first time in your life. And here is J.D. Sumner and the Stamps Quartet with myself, singing lead, I, John.
Well, and I jumped somebody number well, in the middle of the air. Well, I jumped somebody number somebody number well, in the middle of the year. I jumped somebody number way in the middle of the year. Well, there were three gates in the east, and there were three gates in the west, three gates in the north, three gates in the south, and that made 12 gates to the city, 4 square wide. Hallelujah, come mighty you will. I jumped somebody number well, in the middle of the year. Well, I jumped somebody number well, in the middle of the year. Oh, John declared that he saw a man. He had 12 bright stars in his right hand. Well, his eyes flashed by like the burning sun. Oh, John got scared and he wanted to run. Well, he wanted to run, but his feet wouldn't go. Because he felt the gospel coming like a two-edged sword. Well, he heard a voice that said, John, take a look. Read what you see and lay right above. He saw 12 angels in the east. 12 angels in the west. 12 angels in the north. 12 angels in the south. 48 angels to the city, 4 square wide. Hallelujah, the mighty Lord, I jumped somebody number. Where in the middle of the air, I jumped somebody number.